In this episode, we take a look at half-truths in our industry. Some of these can be really destructive if you don't know the whole story. So there's great elements to these things, and we don't want you to not use them. We just want you to use them with caution. So we take a look at three big concepts. The first is lucky girl syndrome. The second is the idea of forgiveness and holding grudges. And lastly, the idea that you just create your own reality and you're just really attached to your bullshit. So take a listen, see what you think.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We're back.
Yay.
It's a new season.
Mm-hmm.
You have a new haircut.
I do. I chopped like a foot of hair off. It was probably like 8 inches.
Don't you feel like, though, that that's like such a big moment? Like when you do that, like you're actually getting rid of stuff energetically.
Yes. I literally was. Yes. Yeah. That was the whole point of the haircut. Let's just chop all the funk off.
So you have new hair, new glasses.
Yes. And new me. Yeah.
And we are so excited to be back.
Yes.
It's so good to take a break from things, but right. To me, it's so telling when you're so excited to go back to it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you take a break and you're like, I could never do that again.
I do know that feeling, actually. Yes.
With the podcast, I really couldn't wait to be back, honestly.
And I think the people are ready.
I think so.
We've been getting a lot of messages.
Yeah.
And when I posted that last week's was the last replay, that got a lot of engagement.
Yes. So here we are.
Here we are. We're back.
We're back. I thought today we would talk about some half-truths.
Yes.
In our industry, I always struggle to name our industry because I want to say like self-help, spirituality, but like none of these actually fit the real title.
I know. It's a hard one.
So I'm just going to say life, half-truths of life, living your life. Yes. If you're a fan of this podcast,
you know
the kind of life you live.
Right.
Half-truths. And I think over the summer, you and I had a lot of conversations of like, oh my God, look at this sketchy TikTok, or look at this thing that's being promoted as like a cool thing. And we had some people ask us to talk about one of these kind of toxic-y half-truths specifically.
Yeah, like I almost called for like a summertime episode.
Yeah, like pop in.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't do that, but like it's been coming up a lot.
Yes. So I think that this topic could be many more episodes.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff. So if there's something that you're seeing and you're like, I want you guys to break this down or talk about this, mm-hmm. send it to us and we'll do more of this. Because I feel like I spend a lot of time in the wild, like trying to gently correct people when they're talking about these things.
Well, it's funny that you would say that.
Is it?
Yeah. Because I worry about, I mean, we can get into it, but I sometimes, you know, me overthinking.
No.
I worry a little bit that like everything that we talk about is like criticizing everything.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come off as like sort of like the bitchy girls who are just...
Like, we're here to bash all the stuff you like.
Everything apart. Right, exactly. We're just like bad times. I don't want to be portrayed as that, but like, I think that unfortunately in this community, whatever you want to call it, there are a lot of half-truths. There's a lot of sort of like gray areas that get a little bit dicey.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about them.
None of the stuff that we're going to talk about today is us going, this as a whole is a bad idea.
Right.
It's sort of like what I think our purpose in this space to do is to like right the ship.
Correct.
The ship itself is a good ship.
Yes.
But it went off course over there.
Well, and it's in murky waters.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like we're trying to like be intuitive and like be listening to ourselves and be healthy and mentally fit, but we're doing it in this society.
Yeah.
That is junk. It's literally like falling apart around us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So we're riding the ship. We're trying to get to better waters. We're trying to maybe fix the waters. We're trying to do some ship repairs. We're trying to get on a better track. If we see it going off the track, we want to stop and tell you so that it doesn't end up hurting you. Because half-truths to me are more dangerous than like a whole total lie.
Yes.
Because that element of truth is gonna sit with you. Your intuition is gonna grab it.
Pick it up. Yep.
And some of these are designed to sort of take advantage of that. I mean, how many cult leaders have we talked about that the reason they're so dangerous is because there's real elements of truth and real concepts that they're using.
That work, right.
And then they're sort of manipulating it.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with some of these concepts.
Yep.
Okay. So the first one, this is the one we were asked to talk about by a few different people.
And, like, tagged a lot.
A lot. And especially our listeners from, like, England. I think is even bigger there.
Right.
So it's lucky girl syndrome.
Yep.
So if you're on social media, I think especially TikTok or Instagram, you've probably seen, especially over the summer, the lucky girl stuff.
And, like, there's an audio that goes with it.
Yeah. I thought about playing you the sound, but it's nothing very exciting. There's two of them that I went through and researched the TikToks. Real tough for me. I will say that I really screwed up my algorithm with some of these that I was looking at.
I had the same worry when I was doing it, too.
I did. I was like, oh, Teal Swan is appearing again.
Yeah.
This is bad, you know.
Yep.
So it's fine. The sacrifices I make for our podcast.
I think that's actually an interesting point, though. Like, when you start doing things like that and then your algorithm shifts.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to note those changes. Because when I was looking at, I was, like, sort of revisiting the lucky girl stuff.
Yeah.
And I all of a sudden was getting, like, I was on conservative TikTok.
Oh, yes.
Which,
right.
you know me,
that's not a place for me.
So I was like, not interested.
Right.
But, like, very interesting to note that, like, you start going towards lucky girl affirmations, this type of thing, and now all of a sudden we're conservative.
We're conservative and we have toxic cult leaders on
that's the pipeline.
Yeah. So it's a slippery slope.
Right. And it's happening when you're not really noticing it.
Yeah, it's sneaky. If you don't know who Teal Swan is because you didn't listen to our Teal Swan episode, go do that. But you might not know.
Correct.
That she, because again, she's a great half-truther. One of the best.
Oh, she lives in the half-truth.
Yeah, so like you might not know that you're getting sucked into something very dangerous.
Super dangerous.
Yes, okay. So lucky girl syndrome, I'm going to tell you what it is. But first, I just want to say, in case you're really obsessed with it.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, there's not.
You can do lucky girl syndrome.
No,
yeah.
I get it. When I'm like, I get sort of hyped up when I'm listening.
Love
to
it.
I'm like, yeah, I'm a lucky girl too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it. But you're just missing a part that is
really
important. And if you don't include it, can throw you into a place of shame because there's an element of toxic positivity here if you're not careful.
Correct.
So I'm not destroying lucky girl syndrome for you. I'm
just
giving you like a little asterisk and something to add.
Yep.
Okay. So there's the lucky girl is like a sort of like a valley girlish sounding girl.
Mm.
Do people still refer to that accent as valley girl?
Kardashian-esque? I think it's more like they call it like the LA vocal fry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just hit the mic. Yeah. I got so excited about it. So it's sort of in that tone a little bit. And she's just talking about like how she's just really lucky and like things come to her easily.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an audio that's used. That's an Abraham Hicks audio.
Yes.
Which is a great one about, you know, I'm lucky, things flow to me. I will say, if you actually listen to the entire Abraham Hicks audio and you look at the work that goes with it, that's not toxic. But if you don't know the rest of that work, you just take this little segment, you're missing something important.
Right.
Okay. So I thought I'd break this into here's the truth and here's what's missing.
Okay.
See what you think. Okay. So the truth about doing the lucky girl things, repeating that you're lucky and things just come to you easily and that you fall into luck all the time.
Right.
These are affirmations.
Yes.
Affirmations work.
We have a whole episode on those.
We do.
Yep.
That happens more. The more episodes we have, the more we're like, oh, so we have a whole episode on that. It's really fun. Okay.
I do feel like affirmations are how a lot of people like get into like the work.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you start with like, oh, an affirmation can help me. And then you're meditating and then you're in a yoga class and then you're using crystals and essential oils. Like, it's sort of like a gateway thing because affirmations are so easy. They're so easily accessible.
And
that's not a criticism. I think that's
a great thing about it.
Exactly.
They're also like everywhere. Like, you know, people call it prayer in religion.
Correct.
You know, there's so many, even like if you go to a businessman seminar,
yes.
they're doing affirmations.
They are.
You know, they're probably calling them like positive statements or something. But
exactly.
like, it's a really good thing to do. And if you add the visual element, which this encourages you to do when you watch so many of these TikToks, that's visualization. Excellent. Do that. Your brain and your body react to whatever you say and think.
Right.
Always. Okay. So I have a few examples for you.
Okay.
The first, I've said it before on the podcast, but it's my favorite to just show you how your body reacts to what your brain says, whether or not you know it's true.
Right.
It's the lemon.
Yes.
Okay. So if you just picture right now that there's a lemon in your mouth, all of a sudden you're going to notice that you start to salivate.
Right.
There, you know there's no lemon. You know I'm tricking you, but your body is reacting to a lemon. And
That's how your brain works.
That's how your brain works, but that's also energetic.
Yes.
Okay. So all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm reacting as if. Okay. Right. So if you're acting like luck never goes your way and everything is always crap for you and like you have a good day, but you know the next day is going to be a bad day, it's going to be true because you're going to call it in.
Yes.
Now, when we get to the part that's missing, I just want to say the bad things that happen to you are not your fault. Please don't read that statement that way.
Right.
But that you do project that out and call stuff in.
Because you believe it, just like you believe there's a lemon in your mouth.
Exactly.
You believe that bad things are going to happen.
Yes, you're reacting to the statement, there's a lemon in my mouth. So you just react energetically, physically, mentally.
Right.
Your brain goes, there's no lemon. But your body's like, we better send some saliva.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's what happens.
Right.
The purple car exercise.
Yep.
If I said to you, I want you to notice purple cars, you would notice so many purple cars. Everywhere you went, there'd be a purple car. You can do this with anything. If I said, notice how many people have on a red shirt, it does not matter. All of a sudden, everything you notice is a red shirt, and you just see it everywhere, and it comes to you, and you just, like, call it in because you're focused on it.
Yeah, it's just awareness. You're aware of it, right?
Try it. It's crazy. You're thinking, there's not that many purple cars. You'll see some.
Right, and you'll find every terrible spot of your life if that's what you're focused on.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. The other thing that I do, and this was one of the first, really learn to manifest exercises I ever did. So I've been doing this for a very long time. I'm talking like early 20s, is that no matter where I go, I call in the best parking space ever, and I fully believe that I will get it.
Yes.
And I always do.
Yeah.
To the point that if I'm the passenger in the car and someone's spot isn't excellent, they're like, I'm sorry to me. Because they know they didn't call
it up.
And I know that sounds really silly, but like if I go somewhere and for some reason I don't get a good spot, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? It's like a gauge for me of like I'm something's off.
Yep.
Yes. I just really do believe it's easy to believe that you can get a good parking spot. There's no consequence really. I'm able to walk if I don't. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But these things are incredibly effective.
Mm-hmm.
Same as if I said like, all right, Jamie, go up and give a speech to those people over there. Even if you're nervous and your armpits are sweating about it and your belly hurts a little, if you are saying to yourself, I'm going to nail this.
I got this.
I'm nervous, but I got this.
Right.
You're going to have a much better time than if you're like picturing yourself stuttering or puking on the stage. Like the energy you bring to that and the state you're in is affected, and the likelihood of you doing a lot better is a lot higher.
Exactly.
All of these things work. So saying and repeating that you're lucky, good idea.
Yep.
Okay. Here's what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't changing your actual beliefs.
Correct.
Okay, so the thing is, anything that you want that you don't have, there's some sort of misalignment. It's not your fault.
No.
There's nothing wrong with you.
No.
It's just life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, I'm so lucky, everything always goes my way, but in some element of your life, you haven't shifted a belief around that, it's not going to come, and you're going to start to get frustrated. Because if you just start doing the lucky girl affirmation, some great stuff's going to suddenly come flying at you, and you're going to be like, this shit works, great, and you're going to keep doing it, and you're going to spend like a week of your life on a high.
Yep.
But that second week's going to roll around and you're going to hit the low, because you're going to see the stop. You're going to see there's only like this level of stuff I can get.
Yeah. You're going to plateau.
You're going to plateau, and then you're going to get frustrated and then you're going to blame yourself.
Right. Because like we always say, like you have to do the work.
Yes.
And that is like realigning and readjusting your beliefs and your vows and the fears that you have.
Yes.
And like, no matter how many times you say I'm lucky, it's not going to convince your ego that some like trauma in your childhood didn't happen.
It's probably going to spark it, actually.
Right. And that, yeah, like, you didn't write this vow about, like, I mean, how many times have we talked about my issues with,
right,
with abundance?
Yeah.
That it's, like, not safe.
Right.
To, like, have money, to have a lot of money. Like, I wrote in my story, it's not safe.
Yes.
So no matter how many times I say I'm lucky, yes, and I allow abundance into my life, until I work on those things.
Right.
Which we've been doing.
Yes.
For a long time.
Well, you're going to always have to work on,
right,
those things.
Right.
Yes.
But, like, no matter, like, until you start doing that work,
mm-hmm,
the lucky girl stuff can only go so far.
Yeah. There's, like, this, I've coined this term called lucky girl burnout.
Yes. That's a good one.
Because.
Trademark.
Trademark. You get that high at the beginning,
right,
and these things start flowing to you because you did open something up, right? It's,
right,
like turning on a faucet, and all of a sudden you're like, whew.
Well, and you also, a lot of us, when we start doing this stuff, we're getting, like, little glimpses into how fucking powerful we are.
Yes.
Like a little taste of the magic, of the,
yes,
intuition, of the witchery, whatever you want to call it. You're like, oh my God,
yes,
I just did this. I'm a badass.
Yes. Look at what I can do.
Right.
And so you start to open up. And so,
mm-hmm,
then that energy, that powerful energy, starts to bring more in. I'm,
right,
telling you, it's beautiful. And you ride that high, but you're a cyclical being.
Right.
I don't care how evolved and how much work you've done.
Right.
You're going to then go down and then you'll come back up.
Right.
But on the down,
yep,
you're going to feel really burned out if you don't understand why you're hitting the down. Because just like the moon being cyclical and having more light and less light, like, that's,
mm-hmm,
how you're operating.
Right.
So you, when you're hitting the down, that's the opportunity to go, what's going on here?
Yep.
What kind of stories might I have? What kind of vows might I have?
Mm-hmm.
And invite the fear in.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yeah,
we have this thing. You know what drives me crazy in our culture, where we're like, fear is bad.
Yeah, and like avoiding.
And
this,
the lucky girl,
yeah,
thing, like, borders on that to,
mm-hmm,
me a little bit, because you're like, just focus on,
don't,
the good.
Don't think of the bad. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
But it's like, actually, no. Like, I don't think you should be consumed by the fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important what you do with fear, how, your relationship to it.
Right.
100%. But, like, see our episode on fears and desires.
Right.
You know what I mean? But,
right,
like, you need to listen to it,
mm-hmm,
because you aren't going to ever get back up to the high,
right,
if you don't
get through the low.
Yeah.
Right. You'll just turn off. Right.
Shadow work. That's important.
Correct.
And your fear is not the bad guy. It's not the thing,
no,
keeping you from everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going like, hey, these are the ways we don't feel safe.
Right.
And then you can address them.
Yep. Can I add a thing that I don't like about it?
Yes.
And this is not really the lucky girl thing itself. It's,
mm-hmm,
more of like a social media issue.
Mm.
But when I was going through and, like, just sort of refreshing on it.
Yeah.
I found that I was very quickly, very irritated.
Uh-huh.
By, like, because, like, I think there's a whole portion of them that are, like, these quick flashes of, like a matcha latte. And then, the Eiffel Tower, and these, like, quick hits of, like, what this life is supposed to look like. And, like,
yes,
it felt, my brain was like, it was just sort, it, like, sort of quickly started sparking and spiraling into thoughts of, like, you know, I wasn't, like, sad or upset, but I was like, I started to feel resistant. Like,
yeah,
like, either A, I don't want this life. Like, this isn't what lucky girl looks like. I don't want this, like,
right,
this life, this Netflix life that someone's, like, showing.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm never going to have that. Like, I'm never going to be on, like, the River Seine in Paris. And, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, could I go to Paris? Yes, I could. But is that, like, on my bucket list? No.
Right.
But, like, so it quickly, I think if you're not aware of those things, the lucky girl thing could quickly turn into, like,
yeah,
fuck you.
Right, and then you walk away entirely from the concept.
And you're like, I'm not lucky, fuck being lucky.
Yes,
it's like,
exactly,
such bad energy.
Well, it's sort of like what I was noticing, what I thought you were going to say, and I think you sort of said this too, is like, it's almost like you're being presented an aesthetic that,
yes,
you're supposed,
exactly,
to buy into,
right,
on a lot of the TikToks.
Right.
And I don't think that that's like an intention, like the creators were all like, let's get together and try to like really sell this like one,
this like young white girl
influencer lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like there are a lot of different people. We all look different,
yes,
ways. We live different lives. We have different,
yes,
bodies. Like,
I don't think that was like intentionally,
no,
done.
Right.
But I think what happens a lot on social media is like everyone sort of goes like, oh, that did well. That got a lot of engagement. Let me copy that.
Correct.
So like we sort of have this sort of like being sold something.
Yeah.
And I think intuitive people get like a tummy ache from that sort of energy. And again, I don't think it's badly intended.
No.
But also that resistance, if you're just like drinking the Lucky Girl Kool-Aid, that resistance is gonna do one or two things. Mm-hmm. It's gonna make you feel bad about yourself.
Exactly.
Or it's gonna make you opt out completely. Or both.
Both.
But if you understand that resistance and fear are part of it.
Right.
That like that sparking it is probably gonna actually teach you more and give you more in your life than just like the good stuff. Because then you can go, oh, why? Oh, I need to adjust this to me.
Exactly.
Then you're good.
Right.
Right? Then it's going to work better.
And that's not a lucky girl problem. That's like a social media problem. That's
But it's definitely evident in these videos.
Right.
If you search the sound, you can look through and you can see what we're talking about.
Like they're literally, if you scroll, they're the same. It's like the same.
Yes.
Cuts and flashes of.
Yes.
It looks like someone's like Pinterest board.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
Right?
You know what I mean? And you know that.
And my Pinterest board looks different.
Right. Well, also a lot of the people doing the sound are like 23.
Well, that's what I mean.
You know, so like for a 40-year-old woman,
right.
ours is going to look a little different, you know. I mean, I'm going to be like,
a little more gothic, right.
Go to bed early. Put that on my board, you know, where they're like all night clubbing or something. Like it's just about what it means to you, but you know, one of the things I wrote down is like anything that doesn't feel like it's aligned for you, like when you start to do this and you're like, I'll never have that. I'll never do that. That's gold. Like, don't shut down there.
Right.
Lean into that. And when you can, like,
yeah.
it's not like you need to, you're in the middle of doing something. Oh, I got to stop and lean into this fear.
Right.
Just note it and visit it when you feel like you can visit it because that's important.
Right.
That's
and,
telling you
right.
something's out of line there.
Yeah. And you learn, like I learned, like when I like put the phone down and I was like, okay, what about that? What about that irritated me? What's triggering me here?
You like acted as your own therapist for a minute.
Right. And so like
Perfect.
You start to learn how to walk yourself through things like that.
Yeah. What do I need?
Right.
Yeah. The other thing, I feel like if you were going to like place a bet on one of the problems I would have with this, you would place it on this. And because I do this and I think people think it's a little annoying, but it's really, really important. I make everyone define all the words.
Oh, you do. You love the
definition. I do. But here's, and
it's
I'm talking about what lucky means to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did this a lot when I would see clients and I still do this now when someone's telling me something that they want or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'll say, what does that mean to you? And they look like, I don't know. I didn't define it. That's, I'm telling you that not because I want you to repeat Webster's dictionary definition. No, I don't actually care what that is.
Right.
If you understand what that term means, you're going to have much better luck using it because words are spells. And if you don't have like what this spell means that I'm casting, an affirmation is a spell, right? Then you're not going to clearly cast it.
Yes.
It would be like, I want to cast a spell on Jamie, but I don't say what kind.
Could be anything.
Right. You know what I mean? So like, well, how do I want to cast a spell on her? So it's like, you have to sort of define these things. And I don't think a lot of people have sat and thought like, what does lucky mean?
And I think that was sort of my initial resistance to it was, to me, lucky feels random.
Oh yeah.
Lucky feels like, oh, that's just gonna, I'm gonna happen to like hit the lottery. I'm gonna happen to like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, I'm like much more intentional.
Yes.
So for me, lucky doesn't feel intentional enough.
It doesn't feel like there's any control in lucky.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like that, I mean, again, see our episode on like worth and all that stuff, but like if I want it to be intentional. I want to feel like I deserve it. Like,
right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. And, you know, the next thing I was going to say,
mm-hmm.
because obviously we feel the same way, is where's the action?
Yes.
You have to have an action. So let me take a like slight step back for a second. Define what lucky means and what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does it mean to be lucky? And I know that might sound annoying, but like, if you really do spend time, even if you write out a whole thing and then you like got it out of your head or you say it, like not everyone, writing isn't
mm-hmm.
great for everyone, but whatever your tool is, like get it all out and then pick like two or three key words from
mm-hmm.
that. Like, that's what lucky means to me, that you can just remind yourself.
Right.
Perfect.
And like start to incorporate those other words into like what you're saying.
Yeah, like when you're saying like lucky feels too random and like not in control.
Right.
And so like you could switch that to be like, maybe lucky is ease.
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't require more than just a simple intention.
Right.
And then I get it. Like just doing that little boop in
yep.
your head, that little switch,
mm-hmm.
that will make the affirmation work a
so
thousand times more powerfully.
So much better.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So the action element to this.
Yep.
This is where the secret is missing too. And like, I told you this, that I had read a couple articles and one of them was like, the lucky girl syndrome is just rebranding of the secret. And
mm-hmm.
they keep rebranding this.
Yep.
Because the secret itself is great. Like, go read that. You should. There's a watch the stuff about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But what the secret I personally feel also misses is
mm-hmm.
the action. Like, you do have to take action to get the things you want.
100%.
I know you don't want that to be true. Me neither. I wish that you could just say beautiful affirmations
yep.
and do the work behind the scenes, but you got to take a step forward. The lovely thing about action is that like there isn't a wrong direction to move.
Right.
We've spent a lot of time being like, is this the right decision or
right
the wrong decision?
Right.
You just have to move.
Any action.
Yes.
Yep.
No. Are the consequences different?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
But you just have to do something to
mm-hmm.
get like push yourself to do something different. Because if you're in the same pathways,
yep.
you're not going to get something different.
Right.
Okay. So
right.
it also misses that, which is
mm-hmm.
kind of also what the secret misses. And I think when you leave that out, you really put your toes on toxic positivity.
Yes.
The other element here is, what if you stop and consider for a minute
mm-hmm.
that the playing field for us all is not even here?
Exactly. Exactly.
We're not all in the same ship.
No, we are not.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're all, our boats are in different oceans.
So to me, if you're talking to someone who's like experiencing incredible grief or someone who's struggling to, you know, even afford food for their family,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're like, oh, just say this lucky girl mantra.
Right. Or you're a person of color in a white supremacist society.
Yeah. We're not starting at the same
no.
starting line. Like, for me, a
right.
privileged middle-class white woman,
mm-hmm.
to say this affirmation and call in a good parking space,
right.
that's easy. It's easier
yeah.
for me to do that
right.
than for someone who's not as privileged as me. So it's like, I feel like I know maybe like people get sick of us saying that type of thing. But
too bad.
But it's also, if you apply it to yourself, in that like sometimes I see like these very wealthy influencers,
mm-hmm.
Celebrities even on TikTok, and they're kind of just like, you just have to believe it. Like, you just write yourself $1 million check or whatever they're saying, and I'm sitting there like, it's so easy for you to believe it. It's so much harder. Like, do you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you need to account for that. And I'm not saying stop and don't do it because your life is hard.
Or
that.
Not be like, oh, I'm the victim. Boo-hoo. Like,
no.
Not that either.
But you got to acknowledge that
yeah.
here a little bit. So
yeah.
I just think it's worth mentioning that we need to be careful of that.
Yeah. Well, just go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so when it's not working the way you want it to work,
mm-hmm.
you know, you take in all factors as to why it's not working. And that is one of them.
And the not working part is where lack of direction in this is dangerous. Because
mm-hmm.
what you're doing, if we're talking in like Jamie and Heather language, if you're repeating the lucky girl thing or you're listening to the audio
mm-hmm.
every day, you're casting a spell.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're casting a spell and you're calling stuff into yourself. And so if you aren't putting like careful boundaries and guidelines around that, you're calling in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be.
So what you want to do is make sure you understand that at some point you're going to start to feel shame while you're doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how good you are at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how great your matcha latte aesthetic and overnight oats are. Like, you have to, like, you're going to go through that element.
Right.
Shame is
yeah.
an important feeling. It sucks. I hate it. It's just as much as everybody else,
right.
but it is a part of anything that you're doing. You're going to
face process,
it.
Right?
Yeah. It's
you have to process that shame where it sits.
And the more you care about your own character,
mm-hmm.
the higher the standard you hold yourself to, the more shame you experience in
right.
your life.
Right.
It's not because you're doing something wrong.
Right.
It's just because you hold yourself to a very high standard. probably because you're super empathic.
Right. And if you're listening and you're like, I don't feel shame a lot, I think it might sound different in your own head.
Yeah.
Like for me, shame is like, oh, you suck.
Yes.
You suck. Like why can't you manifest this? You like, oh God, I just suck at this.
Yes.
Shame. Like,
yes.
You're sitting in shame.
Yes. I'm so frustrated with myself. That would be like my term,
mm-hmm.
which just means shame. It's just
mm-hmm.
like frustrated is like a little safer, right? Like we all
healthier.
I'm experiencing frustration with myself. Like it's,
right.
it's all
you're
the
still
same.
Being hard on yourself. You're
yeah.
still feeling ashamed of the outcomes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you might not sit in shame, which
mm-hmm.
is great, but you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You experience it every day. There's
yeah.
no one. I don't care if you are like Miss Therapy, Holistic.
2023.
USA jangly bracelets, like you do, right? Like everybody does.
Right.
We should get a sash that says
no,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll make you wear it. But the thing is that if you're doing this and you're, if you don't have the action applied, if you don't have the expectation that shame is going to come in or your limitations and resistance and things that aren't in alignment are going to come flooding at you,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to go, well, what's wrong with me? Because
correct.
I should just be able to say this.
And it's
and
working for everybody
boom,
else on TikTok. So
in
what's
front of
wrong
the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
Yes. Then you're going to now spiral into like failure, mm-hmm. shame, guilt, and you're going to get stuck.
And if you don't move through that, if you don't figure out what's going on and move it, then every time you open TikTok and you see it, you're going to be like,
yeah,
like I suck. Like I can't, these guys got it and I can't do
yes.
it. Like,
and you're going to opt out, which is also a mistake because
yes.
this can work.
Right.
You're throwing, I don't know about the saying, the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know where that originates. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Like, is that
like Victorian age?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It sounds, maybe I just won't ever say it again.
Yeah.
But I sounded like my mother when I said it anyways. But like, there is good here. You
yes.
just have to apply the other parts.
Right.
Okay. I think we should take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two more big ones. One is the one that I see in the wild so much.
Okay.
And another is a TikTok. Well, it's inspired by a TikTok. I see it everywhere also that I sent you with no context and you like immediately texted me like, excuse me, what is this? So we'll be right back.
We'll be right back after this short break. You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep. Beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Hey, y'all. It's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you. Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week. Okay, Heather, this is not a TikTok.
Wow.
I know. This is just, well, I mean, it really, you could find it on TikTok.
I'm sure.
But this is real life. Lately, I've been obsessed with, I think both of us have been obsessed with.
Uh-huh.
Unmasking.
Yeah.
And listen, let's be honest. This could, like, we need to rein it in here because this could be like a full.
Yeah.
Not even an episode. This could be like a series.
It could be like a 20-part series with how obsessed we are with it.
But what I just want to specifically speak about is how we were talking about, this is a TikTok actually.
I knew there would be a TikTok involved.
About how, like, when you start to unmask, and this is stuff that you work with your clients on, myself
mm-hmm.
included, forever,
mm-hmm.
is that, like, when you start to do the work,
yeah,
and you're healing,
mm-hmm.
you're inevitably going to be faced with some funk.
Bullshit.
Some shit.
Yes.
Right? And so I worked really hard this summer to, like,
mm-hmm.
start to unmask, like, from my ADHD and my people pleasing and my anxiety and, like, really just starting to try to, like, just be more of myself.
Yes.
Because it's exhausting, quite frankly.
Well, I also, you just, like, sold yourself very short in that statement. I'm not going to stand for it. You've been doing so much work on being comfortable with who you are, removing some blocks and like people pleasing mm-hmm. and like all of this stuff that you have been working on of like being able to have great boundaries and just be yourself in front of people.
Right.
It's not like you just were like, I'm going to spend the summer dropping my mask. Like you really did do right. a ton of work on this.
I've been trying. Yeah. I've been trying. And like, I think that the unmasked version of me is yeah. actually like funnier yeah. and weirder and like,
I
more
love
fun
that.
To be around.
Like, every part, every time you're like, oh, I'm going to let this part of me show. I'm like, that's my favorite part. Like, angry Jamie, if you've never, you guys have probably never seen her. I have seen very few people. She yeah. is literally, like, she's ragey, and it's so good. Maybe if the only time you probably ever saw her is if she was in traffic near you, maybe. But, like, it's great, like, hold your boundaries, like,
right.
just not having to, like, always accommodate every single other
right.
person. Like, she's spicy and snarky.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I take that as a compliment. I love that.
It's a compliment.
But it's like become such a thing in our house that my husband is like, all right, why don't you put that mask back up? and then I go, never. Like, like I'm never masking again.
Too bad, everybody.
And obviously you need to mask sometimes. Like you have to be polite. Like there's certain like social
right.
norms you have to like
yeah.
adhere to sometimes. Like
I
get that.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
yeah.
you're like, oh, this is great. I'm feeling more like myself. Like, this is okay. And then all of a sudden I was like, why can't I like get my shit together?
Where's my motivation for everything?
Why is my inbox so full?
Yeah.
Why do I have all these messages I haven't responded to?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, because the fucking motivation
yeah.
for me to do all those things was like the people pleasing, was the yeah. masking.
Yeah. Your desire to keep yourself safe
and
by
looking
people
a certain
pleasing,
way
and to not let anyone think badly of you, like controlling the perception of yourself was motivating you, was giving you the energy to do that stuff. So when you
right.
released it, you didn't reset yet.
Right.
Totally normal, right?
Right.
You haven't reset yet what the why,
right.
what's the intention.
Right.
So you sit there and you're like, what's wrong with me?
Right. And I didn't know that my like people pleasing like anxiety was basically managing my ADHD. I had no idea. How would I have known that? Nobody knows that, right?
No,
unless you know what I mean? Like,
it's a part of you since you're so young.
Right.
Like it's like in your DNA. It's
yeah.
like, it's not like you'd be like, okay, Jamie, you have these issues, but like try to not use that for your motivation.
Right.
Like, that's
not
real.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not in your conscious
no.
thought.
No.
So now I'm like, oh, like now I'm recalibrating. Okay.
Yes.
What system can I put in place so that I'm replying to these emails so that I'm getting back to these things.
Yeah. Somebody took a lot of the tools out of your toolbox.
Right.
Those tools were hurting you.
I took them out.
Yeah. yes. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. But they were hurting me. They weren't.
Yes.
I was exhausted. I was sick. It was
yucky.
So you
gotta get new tools.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think masking is something you hear about a lot.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can mask. It's not just people who have autism or ADHD. Like I said, even if you're a people pleaser, you're constantly masking.
I think everybody's always masking.
I agree.
I think the question is, what is the motivation for
right.
the masking? Kind to yourself or
mm-hmm.
not kind to yourself?
Right. Is it helping you or is it actually harming you?
Yeah.
Right.
Because that is like leaves you very drained. If you are like around people, I mean, if you're an introvert, like both of us, we
right.
love the people, but they drain the shit out of
right.
us. So like, no matter what, we're going to be drained, but there's a different kind of drained.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my God, that was just so like, I feel empty.
Right.
That is because the masking was probably not for your benefit.
Exactly.
But there is masking that is good. Like
yeah.
being in a certain state. There's an
yeah.
episode on state, like
mm-hmm.
go listen to it. Like that can be good. So I
yeah.
think it's important to look at, but to also realize that like, same as we talked about with the lucky girl syndrome, like that's the part people don't talk about.
Right.
Like when you do this work, when you're
right.
doing work on yourself and growing and evolving and learning and like making your life better, you also make it suck.
Right. Right. And like, you think like, oh yeah, I'm unmasking, like, woo, look at this work
yeah.
I've done. And then you don't realize that like that there's going to be more work right around the corner
yeah.
to sort of recalibrate your life.
Yeah.
to what it, you're doing now with that stuff.
And doesn't it make sense why your brain and your ego has so much trouble letting go of these things? Because they're wired, like, look what else they're supporting.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So
let's know if you want to talk more about masking, but I just think, like, that's something you and I have been talking a lot about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we could continue to talk all about
that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay, my next half-truth is forgiveness. She's evil laughing because we talk about this a lot. Okay.
I literally just saw, sorry, I'm joking. I literally just saw a TikTok that was talking about, like, regulating your nervous system and how, like, forgiveness, like, truly forgiving someone can be, like regulating to your nervous system because it causes you such a, like, you're in such a different state when you're holding on to stuff like that.
Yeah, well, good point. Like, I'm not destroying the concept of forgiveness.
No,
we're not, like,
no,
saying
no,
don't forgive anybody.
Grudges forever.
I mean, part of that really doesn't
feel
to me, to be honest
true.
With you, but forgiveness is a good thing. There's just, and again, social media makes things hard as of late in that, like, you're just getting clips of things. So I also think that some of these people who are talking about forgiveness in this way that I find a little bit toxic, maybe if they had more than, like, a minute to talk about, they would get to that. So
exactly.
I don't mean that people are, like, peddling this bad forgiveness, you know, motto, but it does sort of happen. And this is the one that I see in the wild the most because people will come to me because they'll be struggling to forgive, like, a toxic parent or an ex-partner that they have to co-parent with, or, like, you know, an in-law, or, like, something that, like, or maybe if someone that was an ex-friend or a current friend, like, and the concept of forgiveness becomes so difficult and people start to feel really bad about themselves. So I want to talk about it.
All right.
Okay. So the whole concept that you should forgive people because it's forgiving them is not for them, it's for you, is true, but it's also a half-truth.
It sure is.
You don't forgive someone for that because most people don't give a shit if you forgive them.
Right.
I can think of three people without even trying that if they don't forgive me, good, fine. I could care fucking less.
It's incredible.
I really, what does it do for me?
Right.
First of all, it was your fucking fault, buddy.
Right. That's true.
What I did was justified.
Yep.
Okay. To me.
Yeah.
To them, the story is different. But if they walk around the rest of their life not forgiving me for the thing that they think I did, fine. I lose no sleep. Sleep like a baby.
See, and it took me a long time to feel like that about certain situations. Like, for all of my life until very recently, I would have wanted everyone to forgive me. Like,
yes, right.
Talking about people pleasing. Like, the idea that someone would be walking around, like,
mad at me? Yeah.
That's a real big problem.
Oh, in my 20s, that would have been devastating.
I'm better with it now.
Yes.
So, but if you're listening and you're like, no, wait, I care, Heather. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Oh, and there are some people that I do. But I'm just saying, like, especially the people who, like, really are bullshit artists and, like, blame you.
Yes.
And you were the victim of them.
All set.
If you in your mind never forgive me, I don't
I'm okay
give
with that.
A shit.
Right.
I hope you have turmoil, to be honest. You deserve it. Work it out with karma.
Love it.
Okay. So the thing is, like, so yes, forgiving somebody is sort of releasing the control they have over you.
Correct.
That you stay up at night and worry if they like you. Like, that is for you.
Yeah, because you're holding the energy. They're not. Like, that worry is in your body, not theirs.
No, they might have forgot who you were.
Right.
Good. Fine. Like, yes, that part's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Another element of this that it is on TikTok, and we discussed one of these TikToks, is about holding grudges. My throat chakra is getting upset about holding grudges. Do I? Yes, I'm holding some grudges. Yes, I'll take some time later to look at them. I can't even say it without clarifying.
Journal about it later.
By journal, you mean Marco Polo.
Yes.
Yes. So holding grudges is this thing that people talk about in this way of, like, don't hold a grudge. And you and I kind of are like, hold a grudge.
No, I'm gonna hold a grudge.
Yeah, hold it so you don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just, is a holding a grudge a great thing for you?
Well, because that you're now in that circle of toxic positivity that you talk about, because then you're shaming yourself. Why am I still holding this grudge? Why am I still mad? Like, I need to let this go. Yeah. I'd be a better person if I would let this go. Right. No, man, if you're still upset, you're still upset, you still have stomach ache about it, you're actively working on it. Like if you're really trying to move through it and it's still upsetting you, then you need to let that process.
You know,
you can't just be like, I'm good.
Yeah, because here's the thing. People who are accused of holding grudges, at least in my observation, are always women.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is just accountability.
All a grudge is you still being angry about something somebody did to you. That's what a grudge is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you did something to me yesterday, you better believe today I still hold a grudge. Of course, I'm still mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
But even the term, like, you're holding it, you are kind of holding it, but you're also working through it.
Right.
And women aren't allowed to be angry. Like, their anger has to be, like, very carefully, like, molded and
constructed,
packaged, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't be angry at that person.
No.
You're still holding a grudge, and that's toxic. Except, no. You are supposed to cycle through your feelings, and you're supposed to get mad, and you're supposed to be sad, and you're supposed to be whatever the hell you feel.
Well, and people are also, beyond that, supposed to apologize and take accountability,
mm-hmm.
and you're not supposed to just let people off the hook all the time. Like,
no.
So if both sides aren't playing that their parts, you get to be mad.
Hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Maybe if you've been holding a grudge for, like, over a year. Year plus.
I think the grudge just sort of, like, transmutes into something else.
I do too, but if you're actively feeling, like, really angry after a year, I think that's a sign to you that there's a reason you can't let go of it, and you should discuss that with your therapist.
I agree.
I don't think you're doing anything wrong.
No.
I just think you need a little support.
Right.
Okay.
Grudges become boundaries.
Well, great segue, Jay.
Oh. That's
literally perfect. I know you can't see because it's upside down for you, but my next bullet point says the difference between boundaries and barriers. Okay. Barriers are unhealthy, and a lot of people discuss, like, holding a grudge against, like, a parent or a whatever, a friend or something, or a coworker,
right,
as if it's a barrier.
Yep.
So you're just never going to speak to them, never going to look at them. They don't exist to you.
Mm-hmm.
Shut out.
Oh,
right?
The no contact thing.
Yeah. Okay. Boundaries are different. You can have a boundary that means you never speak to a person.
Right.
But a barrier is different. A barrier is like keeping you locked in a tower.
Correct.
A boundary is keeping a distance between you and other people.
Right.
So understanding that, we have a whole episode on this, on boundaries.
We do.
So I don't want to go too far into
mm-hmm.
it, but also understanding how you're applying that to mm-hmm. when you need to forgive someone, or you feel like you need to forgive someone, or you're holding a grudge,
mm-hmm.
whatever that actually means.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's important.
Yeah, make sure that it's actually being effective.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, here's my truth and missing breakdown.
Okay.
Truth to this concept. You do forgive to release yourself from someone or something else having power over you.
Yep.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Holding a grudge, holding onto a lot of anger for someone, is an energetic drain on you.
Yes.
True. Okay, here's what's missing. Forgiving someone is for you,
mm-hmm.
but it should be on your own terms.
Exactly.
Okay, that is so important. If you think of forgiveness like you think of grief,
mm-hmm.
so if you were grieving and I was like, it's been a week, don't you think you should have let this go? Like, that doesn't make any sense. When you talk about grief, and I see this, like, I feel like it's kind of topical right now, where it's like, grief is a journey, like, you feel mad and sad, and you're like,
yep.
So is forgiveness.
Yes.
In fact, forgiveness and grief are, like, they're cousins. I just said that with a weird accent.
This is such an interesting point. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
I'm glad you like it.
I think it's very interesting, and I think that maybe the difference is that the grief that you're feeling about the other person is dead, or they're gone from your life.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just you. It's you feeling it of yourself. The forgiveness is generally about other people who are living.
Mm-hmm.
And so people feel like they have more of a right to say something about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, oh, you're messing up Thanksgiving. because you won't talk to so and so,
right?
Because you're holding this grudge,
right?
Or you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but like if someone's dead,
yeah,
then you can't say,
yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, some people do say get over it. Some people do say move on. That's happened.
Because
like,
in grief, forgiveness is part of the cycle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you energetically, for our listeners who can, like, feel, sense, or see energy pretty easily, the energy of grief and the energy of forgiveness are very similar.
They are.
And so the experience of them is also very similar.
Mm. And they're going to be on your own time.
Completely on your own time and completely on your own terms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I said, if the grudge, the lack of forgiveness is hurting you, however long it's been, you're like, I need to let this go and I can't, then you should go get some help for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you would for grief.
I mean, you should have help in your life anyways.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like go. But if you are still working through something that happens or is actively continuing to happen and you have to continue to adjust your boundaries and you're not to forgiveness yet, that's okay.
That is okay.
You're allowed.
That's a very good point.
Thank you. Forgiveness is how you release the tie.
Okay.
So the energetic connection,
yep.
Forgiveness is going like I'm untying it.
Right.
Okay. Now you might form a different one with a boundary. You might never reform it, but it's the literally like cutting of a cord is what forgiveness is.
Yep.
Okay.
Great.
You can't forgive someone without cutting the cord, and you can't cut the cord without forgiving someone. So it's this real mind F that you have to kind of like murkily walk through.
Right. Because even if you think you're cutting the cord without forgiving, say you never speak to them again.
Yeah.
But if you don't actually forgive them,
the cord's still attached.
You're still feeling all that
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
It's still there.
So you never speak to them again.
But
okay.
It's still living inside you.
Yes. Or you're like, I'm going to forgive you, but you don't cut that cord. And again, you can find a new one, but you don't do that, then you're not actually going to forgive them.
No. Because all that resentment or pain or whatever is going to still be there.
Exactly.
Mm, interesting.
And there's no one right way to do it. Same with grief. You forgive
right.
how you need to forgive.
Yes.
Don't ever let someone tell you that your forgiveness needs to look a certain way or be on a certain timeline.
No, that's manipulation.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. I have one more.
Okay.
This is a TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one I sent to you without any context.
Right.
Typically, if I'm sending you a TikTok that I disagree with, don't like, think is trash, I
say that.
Say, but I didn't on this one.
Okay.
Probably got a text, I think, with like, what
the hell?
So I was going to play it, but then I just didn't even want the energy of it to go out because I do not like the energy of this.
Okay.
And I do not care for the creator of it.
Okay.
But you could find it if you Googled the words. It's this concept is, it, so she kind of pops in and she's like, hey, just wanted to remind you that nothing is real and you're just attached to your own bullshit.
So privileged. It's so privileged to say something like that.
Yeah.
And so dangerous.
And there's an element that's right, which is why it's so dangerous.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it like, can you clarify a little bit? Like, what are you talking about? Like,
yes.
You're going to say that to people who have like legit mental illnesses that they're working through and tell them they're just attached to their bullshit?
Yes.
It's too broad of a statement.
It's way too broad. Yes. Okay. The truth of this is that you are attached to your own bullshit. We talked about that. It's
right.
It might be motivating you to get stuff done.
Exactly.
You are of course attached to your own bullshit.
Right.
But we'll get to this in a second, but by bullshit, you don't really mean bullshit. You mean fear.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's your bullshit for a reason.
You, of course, are attached to it because you created it.
Right.
And the stronger of an impact it has in your life, the more important it was to your survival at one point.
Right.
So, of course, you're attached to it. Yes, that is true. And in order to get rid of it, you have to understand that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also what's true is that you are the creator of your own reality, but to a point. More on this in a minute also, but like you're not the only creator of your reality. You're just
correct.
One of them.
Correct.
Okay. So also your bullshit is, quote, fingers bullshit, is getting in the way of what you want. Yes.
Of
also true.
And that's literally the purpose of it. It's literally like you're literally
it's why you created it
from it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. All of those things are true.
Oh,
with asterisks.
Yeah.
Okay. For the missing part, the first word I wrote was gross.
Yeah.
Just wrote the word gross because it is gross to me. The amount of privilege connected to the statement.
I think it's
nothing's real and you're just attached to your own bullshit. And the fact that you could just kind of say it without any other element to it, you really got to do some looking at yourself if you're kind of projecting that out into the world, in my opinion.
Well, yes.
James getting fired up.
I think I just have like a real hair trigger for like these influencers or like coaches or like whatever they're calling themselves who come in and they sort of drop these bombs,
yes.
Right? These like truth bombs you're dropping on everybody because you're looking for engagement. You're looking for clicks and likes. You're looking to like get new clients. I get all that. But like, I think the tide is turning on that where people used to see things like that and be like, oh my God, you're right. What can I do to fix this? And now people are like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like I see this every time I'm on social media. Everyone's telling me everything's my fault. Like mm-hmm. enough. And to your point, like, and what do I do about it besides buying your $5,000 course? Like you're going to tell me everything's my fault. Everything's because of my own bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to just scroll away or completely invest in your thing.
Well, because the thing that, listen, there's nothing wrong with a great clickbait tagline that will sell your program.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with it is that you're using shame to do it.
Right.
You're trying to be what, like the Jillian Michaels of
yes.
the spirituality world?
Exactly.
Like you're going to, you know, shame people for,
right.
you know, eating and make them run on a treadmill for 100 hours and call them all kinds of names to get them to do something. And then you're like, why doesn't that work?
Or the Sean Whalen, which by the way, I have to say this. This is how my intuition works. And we're just going to roll with it. If you're still following Sean Whalen, stop it. I saw a Facebook memory of mine that I shared something that he wrote literally like 12 years ago.
Oh God, did it give you a bellyache?
And I was like, oh my fucking God. I deleted it from my Facebook memories.
Yeah.
Like, but it's that type of energy. Like, get up, start your morning. Like, stop buying your own bullshit. Like these whole, stop bullying me.
I love the Jim Bro voice that you use.
Well, that's how, like, it's
yeah.
is that or it's some,
yeah.
like, white lady with, like, you know, like, a cup of greens in front of her, like, her juices in front of her. Like,
yeah.
I get that I'm being super niche about it.
No,
but I think
right.
you know what I think people
yeah.
listening know what
yeah.
I mean. And I
For
think
sure.
I think that we've had it. Like,
yeah.
I can feel that building.
Yeah.
But, like, don't be tricked by, like, these motivational people who are just sort of, like, punching you
yes.
in 10-second snippets.
Yeah.
Because
it's
not going to help you.
It's frustrating because I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of them are listeners of ours, who are like coaches or therapists or like they're out in the world, some kind of practitioner,
mm-hmm.
like really trying to
yes.
help people and like really trying to make
yes.
it in a really difficult business.
Right.
And then the people like that get all this like clickbait and attention
right.
and people buying their stuff. And, you know, you're like, I don't want to shame people into doing this. And
yep.
so it like sucks that it works.
And I know you're going to be mad, not you, but some of the listeners are going to
yeah.
be mad when I'm saying this. But like a lot of those people
yeah.
actually have like very clear, traceable ties to white supremacy.
Not, yes, the bad people.
The bad people.
Yes.
Like,
yes, the shame
like,
people.
Like the influencers that I'm talking about, like when you start to look into them and you look at who they're following,
mm-hmm.
who they're taking photos with,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, this is white supremacy. Like you're
yes.
way further down the pipeline than I thought.
Yes.
And then I look and I see who's following those people. And I'm like, oh my God, all these people I know are following this person.
I know.
And they don't know that they're following like a white supremacist.
White supremacist. Yes. The patriarchy is sneaky.
It's so subtle.
So you have to keep an eye.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So I pulled us down. I just got to say the pipeline is
yes.
alive and well.
It is.
Unfortunately.
And it's using things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said this before, but I'll say it again. The playing field is not even. So to just like make that statement and to think that like for even for me compared to somebody else that that should just apply like a blanket statement mm-hmm. is ridiculous.
Exactly.
And it's just trying to make you feel shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that. Like I said before, you are one of the creators of your
right.
reality, but you're not the only one.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Do you create your reality by like how you think and feel and are we in a matrix and is time an illusion and all that? Yeah, absolutely. Can't talk too much about time or Jamie will just leave
short
the room.
Circuit.
Yeah. But also you aren't the only creator
no.
of your, and to just be like all the bad stuff that happened to you is because you didn't create a good enough reality. Like, no, that's not it. And that's bullshit and it's garbage. And it's, you see it in like very toxic cults. You see it in religion. You see it in
mm-hmm.
spirituality. You see it everywhere. And you see it in like health. Like, I will yell. You hear it when you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
I will yell forever.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Right.
No. I'm not the only creator. There's a lot of other people having an effect on my life.
Right. And even if you are saying, like, I'm the creator of my life, like, I release all this bullshit.
Yeah.
You still live in
yeah.
a society that
yeah.
ascribes to all of that bullshit.
Yes.
So unless you're willing to literally, like, go and live in a cave somewhere
yeah.
where you're not touched by any of it.
Right.
You have to acknowledge that.
Yes.
You have to acknowledge that like the societies, the cultural norms, like everything that we're living under.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge that.
Absolutely. Because it's the height of privilege to be like, well, you know, all this stuff with like racism and all the healthcare problems that we have and, you know, all this, you know, stuff going on. It's not a part of my reality I'm creating, so I'm just going to turn away.
Well, right.
You're sharing a reality
right.
with everybody. And so, like...
Well, to be like, I don't see color. Like, that doesn't bother me. I love everyone. Well, you live in a society that very much sees color.
Yes, because it's not,
you're
not the only creator of your reality. Everyone
right.
else's reality is spilling all over your stupid reality.
And you
reality.
Have to care about other people's realities. You have to
yes.
care about the realities of trans people and,
yes.
and women.
Yes. Yes.
Women in the South who can't get medical care. Like,
yes.
you have to care about everybody. You can't
yes.
just be like, that's how it becomes toxically positive, because then you start to become like super self-centered.
And you start to blame the people who are victims of something.
Right.
Because they didn't, why don't you just create a better reality?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. We're forced in this reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not right. Also, all the bad things that happen to you are not a result of your own shortcomings.
No.
I will not stand for that ever again. Bad shit happens to everybody. And again, the playing field is not fucking even.
Exactly.
So it's more devastating to some people when a bad thing happens than
yep.
it is to other people.
Yep.
So
agreed.
Okay. And then the bullshit that she's referring to is not bullshit.
No.
It's valuable. It's real. And it is not easy to move.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear. And it's really important.
No, it's not easy to move.
No. If it was, we would all just be like...
Perfect.
Billionaire, perfect
right.
people.
Exactly.
Okay. I just have a few wrapping it up things I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
First, there's a Carl Jung quote that I like that I wanted to say to you and see you react to.
Okay.
I'd rather be whole than good.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I know sometimes there's like a little toxic element to like being
define good.
Yeah. And being good. But like,
right.
I feel like if you're striving to be good, it's in other people's eyes.
Correct.
And I think you should want other
mm-hmm.
people to like you.
Yep.
Even if you don't want, if you're like, I don't care what people think of me, you're a liar.
Right.
You just might not care as much as someone else, but human beings are all wired that way.
To care.
Yeah.
Right.
But whole to me, like, it's not so much in the sense of the end goal of being whole,
mm-hmm.
but like, what else do I need? What kind of support do I need?
Mm-hmm.
How can I get myself there?
Mm-hmm.
Is a better frame of mind than like good enough to have it.
Right. And like talking about masking, like if I'm masking all the time, I'm not being wholly myself.
Yes.
I'm not being fully, I'm denying parts of who I am mm-hmm. for someone else or to like fit it, to assimilate better. Right. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I would rather be whole. I would rather acknowledge
yeah.
all the parts of myself, work on all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe rebalance how they work
yeah.
together.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
to be more functional.
Right.
I'd rather be that. It means
yes.
a lot more work. That's a lot more work.
It sure is.
Than just being good.
But feels so much better.
It does.
So I just wanted to like propose that maybe you think about, is my intention behind this thing that I'm doing to be whole or to be good?
Mm.
And maybe there are different words for you, because whole is not the best word. I
right.
agree. But like
right.
the concept is what I'm
yeah.
more connected to.
Gotcha.
I also just want to say that as a society, we are still so afraid of shame.
Yes.
We're, as soon as it comes up, like everyone's like, oh, shame. Shame is toxic and gross and not good for you, but it's also part of life. Like you also, like,
you can't avoid shame.
No. I mean, there's a lot of parts of being a human that I would skip.
Yeah.
Most of them physical that are just gross.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But you have to.
You have to do that.
And shame is kind of like that for me.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a Brene Brown quote about shame, because she's the expert.
She really is.
So I wanted to read it to you. Shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, belonging, and connection.
Mm.
Okay.
It's the therefore part, because we're all flawed.
Of course. But because of your flaws,
right.
that means X, Y, and Z.
Right, we're not accepting that flaw.
Yes.
Right.
So I know that's wildly unpleasant. Trust me.
Mm.
Been there, done that, taken some shame baths lately.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say...
Yeah.
What I will say is, if you stop and go, why is this thing causing these things?
Exactly.
Shame will become a helper.
Right.
You're not going to like it when it shows up,
no.
but you're going to go, okay, this is going to teach me something.
Right.
And I'm going to be better after I move through this.
Yep.
At my own pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame. Oh, I like to think of shame kind of like anger, and that it's uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
and that like, if you hold on to it for too long or for a reason that's hurting you, it can be toxic. But the actual like experience of shame,
mm-hmm.
if you sort of cycle through it, is actually healthy.
Yes.
Okay.
I always just like to say with shame to move through it. I wouldn't normally like sort of rush someone through an emotion.
Yes.
I'm more likely someone to just like sit
in
something.
Yeah.
Shame, I would encourage people to move through it, because it is so low.
Yeah.
Not low vibe.
I mean, it is low vibe,
it's
but
low,
I know what you
it's
mean.
It's low
yeah.
frequency. Like
good vibes only, Jamie.
Good vibes only. No shame here. Not that. But like, if you actually, you can actually measure emotions, like you can, like, with you can
mm-hmm.
measure the frequency of most things.
Yeah, shame's the lowest.
Shame is the lowest. It's
yeah.
literally like right. I've said this in another episode.
Yeah.
It's literally right above death.
Yeah,
it's so low vibe.
Right.
It's
so like, let's not chill there.
Don't hang there.
No.
But also don't go running from it.
Yeah.
Because your body's gonna pull you back to it, because it has to process whatever it is that needs to be processed.
As soon as you shame is like, do you remember in old school Mario when you'd be in the castle level? And the ghost would be behind you, but when you turned and looked at it, it would stop. But as soon as you turned around, it would come and get you to try to kill you.
Yes.
That's shame.
That is such a good analogy.
I just came up with it right
now.
It
was incredible.
Okay.
Right up my alley. I mean, I'm on board with that one.
Okay.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Okay. But
right.
the thing is, as soon as you turn and look at it, and like, look, every moment is not safe to unpack it.
No.
But as soon as you ask yourself the question of like, okay, why is this flaw or place I need support,
right,
causing me to feel
shame.
These ways,
mm-hmm.
the shame, the ghost, just it goes away,
right?
Okay, will it like maybe creep back and you have to like sit with it
right.
for a second? You don't have to like sit and like cry. I mean, can
right.
but like it can just be a couple seconds,
yeah, just to acknowledge it,
and then you just sort of maybe contemplate
mm-hmm.
it. But literally, as soon as you turn and look at the ghost,
mm-hmm.
it stops chasing
right.
you, and you're
right.
like, okay.
And then
enough.
You can move on to the next steps.
Exactly,
but, it,
right.
but like while you're being chased,
yeah.
As long as you're being chased,
yeah.
you can't do anything else.
You're just going to feel like you're being chased, like you're Mario running.
And then your nervous system is on fire.
Your nervous system dies. Yes.
Right.
Yes. I like to think of shame similar to fear in the sense of like, if you're driving in your car and one of like a dashboard light comes on that there's something wrong,
mm-hmm.
that's not a good time.
No.
It's probably signaling a bad day.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like windshield wiper fluid,
probably,
it's not
yeah.
a big deal. But you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm always like, what the hell is that symbol?
Yeah.
Right? But even though that's going to cause you to have to like take some time out of your day and maybe spend some money, it would be better to like deal with the light when it comes on.
Correct.
Than to ignore the light and then have your engine blow up or
right.
whatever.
You get a much bigger problem.
Yes. So if you kind of think of it that way, I think it's helpful.
Agreed.
It's certainly an inconvenience.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes it's helpful to think of why you'd want someone else to feel shame, to understand your own definition of it and your own triggers for it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So
wow.
Everyone's reasons for feeling shame are unique. It's like a fingerprint or a snowflake.
Right.
Like, even if you're similar, it's like coded different in your body. Mm-hmm. Right. Like,
right.
But there's some stories that you have that make you less worthy of love or belonging
right.
or whatever else in other people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that cause shame the most.
Yep.
For me, I always want everyone to think I'm capable. And if people don't think I'm capable, I end up feeling a lot of shame.
Mm.
Okay. But someone else might not give a shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know what I mean? They care about something different.
Right.
So I know that being seen as incapable triggers a lot of shame about myself.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think like, just imagine someone just like annoyed the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were just in traffic and someone was just driving. This is a good example for you.
For me, yeah.
Driving like an idiot, cutting you off, making you miss a light in the
right.
wrong lane. Okay. You have a moment, because you're human and it's not just you. I'm just using you as an
right.
example, of wanting them to feel shame.
Right.
You want them to feel bad about themselves.
Right.
Okay. Why and about what? And that will tell you
right.
what you feel the most shame about in your life.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're smiling. Like,
I know
why. Yeah. So, I know it too. But it's like you have to look at like why it is with other people and it will just boop show you. But
right.
your ego, when you go to like, why would I feel shame? Will be like,
right.
we're going to hide this in a riddle. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly.
Because it doesn't want you to look at that. Like
right.
for me, I'm going to be frustrated with somebody who has said they're going to do something and
mm-hmm.
didn't like deliver on it, because that reads to me as like not capable and not, you know, I was relying on you and that's
yep.
hard for me. So obviously I apply that to myself
yes.
even more than other people.
Exactly.
So use that tool to help you understand it.
Love it.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Just to quickly summarize.
Mm-hmm.
If you are out in the world and you're doing affirmations or work or forgiveness or trying to get, you know, yourself out of your own way. And the thing that you're doing is bringing a lot of shame in. Red flag.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
It's probably just missing something.
Yeah.
So just think about it.
You don't have to quit. Just reassess.
Reassess.
Yep.
And remember, you're supposed to feel bad things and good things when you're
yes.
doing any kind of work. Like there's
right.
no affirmation that's going to just call
there's
in
no
like
quick fix.
Shiny good things. No. And
no.
you're not going to like learn this one lesson and then everything in your life will be great. If
mm-hmm.
you just like click on to like one more click to healing. That's
yes.
that's not real.
I mean, that'd be cool.
It would be great.
But
and we all believe that in some way, somewhere
yeah.
in our beings.
Hope.
Yeah. I'll just do this one class
right.
and my life will be amazing.
Exactly.
Forever. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry it doesn't.
No.
I didn't design it.
But it adds to the toolbox. It adds to like the work you've done.
Yep. And if you shift your expectations away from like that kind of stuff and to just be like, oh, it'll just make things more enjoyable
mm-hmm.
to do this.
Right.
And that's sort of like your intention. You're going to feel a lot better doing
Absolutely.
Any of this.
Yep.
So I'd love to hear from the listeners if they've done Lucky Girl stuff.
Yeah,
if
it worked.
Run into forgiveness or get out of your own bullshit, toxic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear about that. And
yeah.
any other half-truths that you want us to unpack
yeah.
for you.
I'd love that.
All right. I think we need coffee.
Definitely.
All right, let's go.
Hey, everyone. Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.